Among Orthodox and conservative Jews, kosher means to follow the dietary laws of the Torah as laid down by Moses. Kosher includes forbidden foods such as pork and shellfish, but also certain rituals and preparation of the food or beverages only approved by the chief rabbis. Because of their close connection to Judaism, early Christians followed kosher dietary habits. That is, until an incident happened to Simon Peter which allowed him to eat BLTs and spare ribs. Well, we know he had the vision of the sheep coming down from heaven, and it all these foods that had been forbidden, and Simon Peter told God, said, I can't eat that. They're forbidden, they're unclean. And remember what God told him? What I have made clean, you may eat. And that incident opened the door for the church to discard those legalistic laws. Now, if you ever out shopping, sometimes you may see a small K on food and beverage containers. It signifies it has been certified and approved by a supreme or grand rabbi. Snapple drinks, good example. You ever drink Snapple? It's kosher. So you can see a small little, it doesn't stand for Circle K, but it means kosher. And it's an example of this practice. So it's okay for Orthodox Jews to drink Snapple. But this was all the beginning of Christianity as a separate entity apart from Judaism. You know, it takes a lot of nerve to be an innovator, needless to say, an inventor, too, to start up their own businesses. But you take this was beginning, Christianity started becoming an offshoot of Judaism. And that took a lot of nerve to do that. Some people just not afraid to fail because they believe in the importance of progress. An innovator is a person who does not mind introducing or inventing a new method of creating either ideas or products. There's a man that most of us have never heard of, but we should get down on our knees every day and praise the Lord for him. His name was Dr. John Guerrier. Ever heard of him? He lived up in Apalachicola. In fact, there's a museum dedicated to him in Apalachicola. And he lived there in the 1840s, and he was a medical doctor. He realized that room temperature affected how likely a patient would recover from an illness. With little money and even less public support and even some ridicule, Dr. Guerrier invented a primitive machine which produced artificial ice. Isn't that interesting? Previously, only imports from the Arctic Circle was used and not very productive because by the time it got down from the Arctic Circle, it had melted a lot. So that's what happened. Now, don't ask me how he produced that ice, artificial ice, because the light bulb hadn't been invented yet, so they didn't have electric current. This led, however, to an increased comfort and overall improved health of countless patients suffering from tropical diseases, including malaria and yellow fever. Florida was just ransacked with yellow fever and malaria until the early 1900s. Mosquitoes played havoc on people. It took great innovation for the doctor to bring this ice machine into reality without the presence of electricity. His ice machine evolved into the development, and I'm going up and skip Mr. Edison. There was a man who discovered Dr. Guerrier's patent, and he improved upon it. And you know what he developed? Air conditioning. Think about that. Every time you turn that thermostat down in real hot weather, You need to thank the grandfather of air conditioning, Dr. John Guerrier, for doing that, because that's what gave the inspiration to develop the system as it is there. And so today, we learn a lot about courage of people, whether it was Guerrier or Edison or whomever it was. But think about Cornelius. It took a lot of courage and faith for Cornelius, who was an early convert to Christianity. See, he probably visited the temple and probably visited synagogues quite regularly, but he was not allowed to join because he was not a born Jew. As a Roman centurion, he invited Simon Peter. He sent two people for him to his home, which also dissolved another barrier between Jews and Gentiles. Think of the consequences if Cornelius had not sought out Simon Peter. It would have possibly delayed the formation of the Gentile churches for several generations because of social, cultural, and language barriers. Occasionally, we run into a figurative brick wall, and guess what? And ironically, we rarely call upon God to give us the inspiration for new ideas on penetrating that brick wall. You ever have a problem? You ever have a situation develop? It looks insurmountable. Well, why don't you call upon God? Or why don't we call upon God more often? Because we think we're self-sufficient and independent. Only when we cannot find what we want or overcome it is when we do call upon God. And that wall is finally penetrated. Aspirations are nothing new, and innovations to attempt something different are usually viewed skeptically. How we limit ourselves is not by continually seeking God in prayer for all matters. We do limit ourselves by not seeking God. You've heard this illustration before because I love Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Edison and now John Guerrier are three of my heroes of science because they really stepped out of the box, and they went after things. 1783, Benjamin Franklin was ambassador to France, first ambassador from the United States to France. He went to an exhibition near Paris, and guess what he saw? A 30-foot balloon in diameter was being launched by some Frenchmen and an Englishman. What's the big deal about a balloon? Well, nothing had ever been done like that before. 6,000 feet into the air it went and became the first step in the history of aeronautics. Other night I was outside. It was dark. I was out on my front porch and I looked up in the sky and guess what I saw? The space shuttle. And yesterday morning, it was about 8 o'clock, I was taking some garbage to the dumpster. And I heard a prop plane flying. You don't hear that many around here. And I stopped and I looked up in the sky for it. But if it hadn't been for that hot air balloon in 1783, I wouldn't have been seeing that space shuttle nor that little propeller plane, because this actually did set things off. Well, Benjamin Franklin was among all these French people, and they were looking up at it, and they were questioning it. Well, what's the perceived usefulness of such an invention? And Franklin replied to their sarcasm and lack of imagination with a brilliant retort. Mais quoi c'est un nouveau-né? In English, that says, well, what's the use of a newborn baby? Think about that. If we see something and we're not quite for sure about it, we make fun of it, or we criticize it, but we should support it if it's going to help us. And a lot of times we don't. And guess what? We have hot air balloons even to this day. Cornelius's invitation to Simon Peter opened the door for the introduction of the gospel to the Gentile world. Cornelius had never met Simon Peter, but Cornelius had an excellent ally in God by contacting Simon Peter. Simon Peter, of course, was staying with a friend down on the Mediterranean beach. He was at a beach house of Simon the Tanner, who probably tanned cowhides and all that. So he was there, and God informed him about Simon Peter and where to go. Cornelius cared more about the truth and eternal values than merely maintaining the status quo. Cornelius was a person of considerable influence who was not content with mediocrity in his faith. Had the Holy Spirit not intervened in Simon Peter's life, Cornelius' conversion would have certainly been delayed. There cannot be any success without the guidance and timely intervention of the Holy Spirit. Simon Peter had never entered a Gentile home in his life. See, because Simon Peter was a devout Jew. He followed the Torah. He was very orthodox, and yet he was now a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God desires things for us that we would never even consider. Have you ever been asked to do something and you just said, I don't know if I could do it? But let me remind you of this. God, through the Holy Spirit, will never command us to do something which goes contrary to His goodness. Never fear that God's going to send you somewhere that might be bad or might be something that it would go against your morals or your faith. God will never do that. The Holy Spirit reveals spiritual life into a world of spiritual darkness. Cornelius was an example of a person who sought God and was directed to Simon Peter to discover the way of salvation, forgiveness, and reconciliation in Jesus Christ. The church, however, cannot pick its audience or select which part of the world should hear the gospel. Have you ever thought about that? A lot of times people will come to the church and we have no say in the matter, because the Holy Spirit sends them there. You are here because the Holy Spirit sent you to McLeod Memorial, maybe yesterday or maybe 40 years ago. You never know. God will send you to the church that He wants you in. The church is to proclaim God's message of redemption to everyone. Anytime the church fails to obey its purpose as a witness, it will hinder the cause of God. We should pray regularly for the reconciliation to God of every man, woman, and child in our community here in Bartow. It's a tall order, and most of the time we forget to do it, don't we? If one new thing could be inserted on your prayer calendar this week, it is to be encouraged to pray for those who do not have a connection to God. When I think of connections, I think of my mother as a telephone operator. She worked at one of the old-fashioned switchboards where they put jacks in. She had a headphone set. And that was before we had dial in my hometown. And she'd say, number, please. And one time I picked the phone up, and guess what? She answered. It tickled her to death. But I can also remember the first time I ever heard a dial tone. How many can say that? Not many people can today, because they converted over. But those jacks, they would put those in. And then when the phone call was finished, mother or whoever the other operators would take them out. But I'm going to tell you something. Once God connects with us, God never pulls a plug. Remember that. That is our security. God will never let us out of His hands. And that's what we have going for us. Never let anybody convince you otherwise, because God is there for us. And the Scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the only solution in which the world may know is the true peace and transformation and, yes, salvation of God through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to be better people of faith today than we were yesterday. Help us to grow through prayer and Bible study, through the study of Your Word continually, and through coming to worship You on Sundays. We ask Your help, O God, when we feel limited. And may we be there as a strong arm and shoulder for those, O Lord, who don't have what we have. We pray all this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.